Blog Talk Radio.
We're having technical difficulties right now. Blog Talk Radio, excuse me, not Blog Talk Radio, but YouTube is messing with the stream. We have perfect internet coverage. Before the show started, it started doing this. Prior to this, I've been up making sure everything was great, making sure everything was active. And right when we go live, the stream is slowing down, and it is preventing us from talking in live terms. So if you will, please be patient with us, and let me bring you to the screen. I have a guest, and now we're trying to just get it together. Just give us a second. They always mess with the show. As you can see, the talk time is in front of the actual time. So give us a second and let us try to fix this real quick. Okay? Just wait 1 second. And we'll see what we can do. Give me a second. Okay, we'll see if they'll let us add. So our guest today is Jim Fesser. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine, Rashid. I'm glad we can connect, but you'd be surprised how often when I come on a show there are technical difficulties.
Well, you know, they're doing it right now. They're actually on my screen, I'm looking at you, and you're talking, and you're pausing. I'm talking, and I'm pausing at the same time. So we know that the powers that be are actually messing with the stream. This is not our fault. I'm telling you, we have full internet connection. We have everything going. I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at all of the numbers, the comps, and everything, and it's showing that everything is right. But there is a lag time, and there's just something that's not right about this. But before we go into the show, and I'm hoping that it'll correct this stuff as the show goes, because, man, I'm telling you, they always mess with my shows. But please tell the people a little bit about yourself before we go into the issues at hand about Ukraine, Russia, Joe Biden, and his miserable presidency and all of that stuff like that. Would you please inform the people a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure, Rashid. I graduated from Princeton magna cum laude in philosophy, was commissioned a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps, resigned my commission as a captain after 4 years of active duty, entered a PhD program in the history and the philosophy of science, earned my PhD in 1970 and began a 35-year academic career at a wide range of universities, Kentucky, Virginia twice, Cincinnati, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, New College, University of South Florida, entered a program in computer science and artificial intelligence for PhDs in philosophy and linguistics, was hired as full professor with tenure on the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, where I was for 19 years. I retired in 2006, and I began doing research on JFK in right after the release of Oliver Stone's film, which was in 1991, when a critic came on. It was the editor-in-chief of the Journal of the American Medical Association, began trashing everyone who had done serious work on JFK, calling the film docu-fiction. And it occurred to me, if someone of his stature were going to, you know, abuse his position for political purposes, perhaps some of us with special background and ability ought to become involved. And I would publish 3 books on JFK, bringing together the best experts, world authority on the human brain, also an expert on wound ballistic, PhD in physics, also an MD board certified in radiation oncology, which is the treatment of cancer using X-ray therapy, a physician who'd actually been in trauma room number one when JFK's moribund body was brought in, and then 2 days later responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin. Another PhD in physics, an expert on properties of light and images of moving objects, legendary photo and film analyst. We discovered that the government had fabricated evidence to conceal what really happened to John F. Kennedy. They patched a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head. They substituted another person's brain. They massively edited the whole movies of the assassination, especially the Zapruder, which turns out to have fewer than half of the number that were in the frames in the original, which would have had about 1,000 frame. What we now have 487. They merged shots together. This got me into it. And when 9/11 took place, while I was watching the event on the screen and saw what happened to the Twin Towers, I recognized this was physically impossible, that those buildings could not have collapsed. And I thought then, but when will I ever have a chance to do anything about it? And in December 2005, I was actually in a large group of discussion of experts from around the world, about two dozen, and it occurred to me that the truth movement might benefit from having a society, a loose affiliation to bring together experts, have websites, sponsor events, you know, post videos, publish blogs. And I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005. That was just 6 months before my retirement. And since I've gone strong ever since, I in addition to those initial three about JFK, which shattered the cover-up, and once you realize only a limited number of parties who could have made those alterations, and it included members of the Secret Service and medical officers of the U.S. Navy, you begin to understand that this had to be a very high-level government operation, and it turns out Lyndon Johnson was the key, coordinator, facilitator to make it happen. Lyndon was in deep political trouble, but was actually to be a vote in the Senate on the day of the assassination on Bobby Baker, who was Lyndon's bank man in the Senate. That was widely expected to tarnish Lyndon so badly he couldn't run with JFK again. JFK had already decided he wasn't going to run with Lyndon again. He was thinking about Terry Sanford from North Carolina. Lyndon was desperate. He actually sent his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. I subsequently did a book on Paul Wellstone, who died in a plane crash only 60 miles north of my office in Duluth, co-authored with a fellow of Four Arrows, Don Four Arrows Jacobs, a Native American scholar. And subsequently became involved. I was doing a lot of blogging. I was a journalist, actively publishing all over the place. I had multiple blogs. I have one blog with 700 blogs and all that. And then when I put together research on Sandy Hook, I brought together 13 experts, including six current or retired PhD professors. And we established the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and it had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Rashid, we even found the FEMA manual, which I included in the book as Appendix A. So Amazon, and I'm convinced acting as an agent of the state, had to suppress the book. So it went on sale on 22 October 2015, sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month, and they banned it on 19 November. So I released it for free as a PDF. I have subsequently founded a book company called Moon Rock Books, where we have published 12 volumes, of which I have edited 8 of those volumes, and 6 of the books that I have edited have been banned by Amazon, not only on Sandy Hook, on the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing, Rashid. Now, this is just insane, but it's typical of what's going on in the United States. There's massive censorship So the public has no idea what's really going on. And I hate to say it, but the Democrats are absolutely 100% into this. And they're participating in slaughtering America. Joe Biden is out to destroy the nation. I've never seen anyone do so much damage to America in as short a time. He'll not just go down as the worst president in America, but as a man who sought and may even succeed in destroying the United States of America. The open borders, the failure on the cargo, the supply, paying farmers to plow under their crops, promoting the vax. Now it turns out Biden's even getting abolishing a requirement, a health requirement at the border that's been in place for 10 or 20 years. The Pentagon is planning to ax 750 names with ties to the Confederacy. This is to exacerbate tensions between the races here, Rashid. This is a country that has sought to amend its mistakes of the past. No one believes in slavery. Everyone believes in equal rights. But the Democrats are trying to foster anxiety, tensions, even hatred between the races. I would not believe they could succeed, but they have the backing of the teachers union teaching this critical race theory that has it that the nation is inherently racist and that every white person is a racist. I mean, it's just absurd, Rashid. I've had lots of friends of different races, different religions. I don't give a damn about that. I care about them as persons, and that's the American way. We care about each other as individuals. But the Democrats have gone full bore, and Rashid, I just don't see where it's going to end. I've been very concerned because we all know that Biden's popularity is in the basement, that by every predictor, every reliable indicator, every poll, the Democrats are going to be wiped out in November. I've been predicting that they'd lose 100 seats in the House and 3 or 4 seats in the Senate. But Anthony Fauci, to whom I refer as Tony the Rat, recently mentioned we may have to restore the lockdowns again. And what they're going to do, Rashid, I can see this so clearly now. They're going to declare that there's a new variant that's very damaging. They're going to lock down the country, and they're going to require mail-in balloting. That's what's going to happen. And when it's mail-in balloting, they can steal the election effortlessly. Even third world countries don't use mail-in balloting. Let me give you an illustration. In California, Gavin Newsom is enormously unpopular. He's the most despised politician in California. He was going to be wiped out. Larry Elder was the odds-on bet to become the new governor of California in a fashion similar to how Arnold Schwarzenegger became the new governor. It didn't require a majority of the vote. It's just that among the alternatives, he would have had a plurality, the largest number of votes. Schwarzenegger had the largest number of votes. Larry Elder would have had the largest number of votes. So they changed voting in California to allow you to print your own ballot on your own computer so they could just run, you know, millions of votes in for Kevin Newsom. They're going to pull the same kind of SHIT on us in November, Rashid. It's insulting. It's un-American. And the party has to change its name because it is anything but democratic.
Okay. I want to – that was a lot to unpack, and I want to go back to something. But first, I want to tell the people who are watching and who may watch later on that as we look at the internet connections, the internet connections are strong. But as I look to the internet connection on my screen, it says it's just lost internet connection. But on my computer, I have perfect internet connection. So there is something going on to stop the show or to interfere with the show. And we have no control over that, even with the lag time and stuff. So we're going to deal with that, and we're going to try to power through the show. But this is almost every time we get on the show, we have some kind of issue that from the powers that be that we cannot overcome unless it be the will of God. Now, I want to I want to say something. Yeah, you said the Democrats are all in for it, and I'm no Democrat or I'm no Republican, but I believe that both parties are the two sides of the same coin. And as a matter of fact, one congressman just he was just talked about, I think, what was it, a few days ago, his name, on the 29th of March, and he's a GOP House leader, a young guy, and his name is
Kevin McCarthy.
Yes, and he talked about how the GOP leadership and other GOP congressmen were inviting him to orgies and to do all kind of you know,
Crawford. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's even in a wheelchair. He's a disabled vet, Rashid.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, I look at it.
I was shocked that Kevin McCarthy was going to have a talk with him. I mean, give me a break. You know, I'm with you on this. I thought that was embarrassing that Kevin McCarthy did such a stupid thing. I didn't mean to interrupt your commentary. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, while you were interrupting at the same time, I'm glad you did, because I'm trying to see what's going on, and we have StreamYard is really messing with the show today. I don't even think it's YouTube. I believe that it's StreamYard that's doing this time. But let us talk about something. We know that there's a big crisis. As you can see behind me, I have Vladimir Putin and I have Joe Biden. What do you think that is going on with this thing with Ukraine, and why is the U.S. media failing to explain to the people the truth behind what's going on, and why do you think that they're hiding Mr. Biden is supporting neo-Nazis, and why do you think that he's refusing to tell the people that there are special op troops in Ukraine operating that are embedded with the Ukrainian soldiers against the Russian forces?
Well, Joe Biden's a very corrupt guy. He's had lots of corrupt business dealings with Ukraine. What's fascinating here, Rashid, is that the Hunter Biden laptop, which after 2 years, the New York Times is finally acknowledging is legit, is just loaded with all kinds of incriminating stuff. One who's been going through it says there's enough here to impeach 2/3 of the members of Congress. But surprisingly, it shows that even Hunter Biden himself was tied into these bio labs in Ukraine. Were there something like 28 of these bio labs? The DOD was helping to finance them, and they were developing pathogens that were going to be used on a racial basis. They appear to have been studying Russian DNA, that they wanted to use drones to distribute this stuff into Russia to kill Russians, which is one of many reasons why Putin had to go into Ukraine. Believe me, he knew what was going on, and this could not be allowed to stand. But the American government is just lying to the American people again and again, in spite of the fact that a high official, Victoria Nuland, weeks ago acknowledged to Congress that there were these pathogens very dangerous in these labs and that they were worried the Russians might get a hold of them, admitting thereby that the U.S. was developing these, and it may even be that the COVID thing came out of a lab in Ukraine. I'm telling you, it's just disgusting. But the ties, Nancy Pelosi's son, John Kerry's son, Mitt Romney's son, Joe Biden's son, they all have cushy jobs in Ukraine on these gas companies. They're getting millions corrupt benefits. It's very, very bad. So when you have the highest levels of government corrupt, they want to keep it away. They want to cover it up and not allow the American people to know what's going on. But it's gone far beyond that, Rashid. They are being exposed, and the corruption is overwhelming.
You know, I want to address something that you said. Then I want to take it a little bit further back about the Ukrainian crisis. But before I do that, I want to address something that you said, which is very accurate about the corruption and about all of these powerful people and their children that sits on the board of Ukrainian companies. Why is the media not commenting on the fact that when Joe Biden was vice president under Barack Obama, he was the one who was responsible for either approving or rejecting the loans that were supposed to be installment loans to Ukraine, and he interfered in Ukraine business and had the prosecutor who was about to bring charges on his son Hunter Biden. Why did he had him removed by threat of not giving a loan, and Ukraine would have defaulted on all their debts. Why is this missed in the media?
Well, because the media itself is very corrupt, sad to say. The media is largely controlled by the Rothschild banking empire, by the way, which is behind most of the misery the world experiences. The Rothschild own the Associated Press, they own Reuters, and they control most of the media in the United States. I mean, it's simply stunning, Rashid, so they're very selective. They use what's known as special pleading. They only publish information they want you to know, and they suppress the rest. It's also known as the method of selection and elimination. Select the evidence you like and eliminate the rest. They don't want the American people to be informed. Remember, that even goes back to Bill Casey when Ronald Reagan appointed him to be the director of the CIA, who told the staff at his first meeting that our disinformation program will be complete when everything the American people believe is false. We're pretty much at that point now, Rashid. Virtually everything most Americans believe, whether it's about the vax or about Ukraine or about Russia or even about Hunter and his laptop, is false. And I have a friend, by the way, who was there to hear him say it. This is not a myth. This is a fact.
Now, before I bring my co-host in, Rashid, his name is Rashid also, I want to go to something. As we talk about the Ukraine crisis and we talk about the seriousness of this, and most people point back to 2014 when Victoria Nuland and her proteges helped to overthrow the democratically elected government of Yanukovych, I believe that's his name, Yanukovych. And America made no bones about democracy then, but I take it further. It didn't start in 2014. It started way before that, because remember Barack Obama's protege and mentor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, had said that if you separate Ukraine from Russia, you could prevent Russia from becoming a great power, and then the United States could take over the Eurasian landmass and continue to rule. What do you say about that?
Yeah, that's on the right track. Yes, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, Zbigniew said that if you separate Ukraine from Russia, because Ukraine is the breadbasket, means provide most of the food for Russia, that you could greatly weaken the bear. But the relations between Russia and Ukraine go back 1,000 years. The very first capital of Russia was Kiev. And now they're trying to rename it and call it Kyiv, because if you look up the history of Kiev, you realize since it was the original capital of Russia, obviously Russia has a long history with Ukraine. And when it's become such a despicable entity, gone neo-Nazi. I mean, you make the good point that Victoria Nuland spent $5 billion of American taxpayer dollars to overthrow the democratically elected president of Ukraine, who was very pro-Russian, and install a Western puppet who was anti-Russian. And from that point on in 2014, the Ukrainians began shelling the Donbass and Ukraine area, and they've killed around 14,000 Russian-speaking Ukrainians out of this antagonism that's been generated by the puppet government there, where Vladimir Putin, in a speech he presented on the 24th of February, which is published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, Vladimir Putin laid it all out, why he had to go into Ukraine and how the West had encroached again and again and again on the Eastern Bloc countries that became sovereign with the dissolution of the Soviet Union back in 1991, where the West made solemn promises not to encroach not even one inch to the east. And yet, just to illustrate how massively that's been violated, there were 16 NATO nations at the time, and now there are 30. And they came from, you know, militarizing and NATOizing these nations that they promised Gorbachev they would never do. So Russia has good reason to distrust the West. And I believe everything he has done has been appropriate and justified, and that he's acting in a noble fashion to protect the interest of the Russian people. But the West has just been horrific. We've done everything wrong. We're lying, cheating, stealing. In fact, in his speech of the 24th of February, laying out the rationale why he had to enter Ukraine, he referred to the West as an empire of lies. And that's correct, Rashid. The West is an empire of lies. The West is the greatest liars ever on the history stage. It's outrageous. That's what we've become.
Okay. Now, I know Rashid is waiting to ask a question. Rashid, you don't have to keep getting on the device. I have you on the screen, so I'm going to unmute you and let you ask your question to Professor. So go ahead.
How you doing, Professor?
Good.
The reason why I'm doing, my laptop is throwing me off every 2 seconds. I had to resort to the cell phone because it keeps kicking me off.
No, I get it. They're attempting to sabotage the show, no doubt. Yeah,
that's very, very good. Like I said, I just can't get on. That's why you keep seeing me going back and forth, back and forth. So I guess I'm going to have to use the cell phone.
You did good.
So what I want to know is, what is the main thrust of going after Russia? Why Russia now with Biden? Before Trump was in, he was pushing for an economic war on China, but now it's Russia. What's going on here with both of these situations?
Well, American people and the Russian people have a great deal in common. You know, they're largely a Christian nation. They believe in morality. They believe in family values. They believe in having a strong population. They don't endorse all this gay, bisexual, trans stuff that's regarded as nonsense. Vladimir Putin's been very clear about it. I happen to agree with it. I think this is part and parcel of an attempt to corrupt the mores of the United States. And when they start messing with children, teaching them about sex when they're little kids, or suggesting they have the choice of whether they want to be a boy or a girl, they have crossed so many lines here in terms of healthy human relations that I find it despicable. I believe, frankly, it's got a lot to do with the fact that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are both men, and that they cannot have a baby, that Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I've documented this many, many times. So I'm not just fantasizing. I'm telling you a fact of the matter. I can tell you where you can see the evidence for it. If you go to my blog for False Flags and Conspiracies Conference 2020. All those shows are available for free on my blog. And if you find mine on a deception galore, I explain how Hillary has used multiple body doubles, how Michelle is actually a man, how the Biden guy we got in office now isn't even the original Biden from Delaware. He's an actor. But he's doing a good job of displaying the kind of cognitive incompetence we would expect from Biden, and a host of other frauds. So I'm telling you, I think they want to normalize what they themselves are, which is an aberration. I mean, you know, the percentage of the – it's very interesting. Polls were taken roughly among young people, and they asked how many, you know, in the population are gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender, and all this. And they came up with a startling number, you know, 30% of the country, something like that, but it's actually a tiny, tiny percent. It might be 1 or 2%. So it's a way, you know, things are being promoted, advertised, magnified, even in terms of literally advertising. But I'll just tell you, the propaganda effort here is simply overwhelming. Now, Trump wanted good relations with Russia. The military-industrial complex didn't like that. Why? Because if Russia is our friend instead of our enemy, then NATO is no longer necessary, and the European countries have no motive to pay large sums of money to buy expensive equipment from Boeing or General Dynamics or Lockheed or whatever. So the military-industrial complex loses its demand. That's why we had here, when tensions were starting to rattle up, that the chief executive officers of these companies were telling their stockholders, tensions with Russia are good, meaning good for business. Our stock goes up, the demand for our product, which, notice, has a very limited applicability. Tanks and bombers and all that really aren't useful in other areas of life other than the conduct of war. And with regard to Ukraine, Russia and Germany were getting very, very good cooperative with the Nord Stream 2 gas line. Russia was going to be providing, you know, abundant natural gas to Germany at cut rate prices. And much of what happened in Ukraine was to thwart that relationship. I don't know where Europe plans to turn, because many of those countries get 40 to 60% of their gas from Russia. And all these sanctions on Russia, by the way, are forms of collective punishment that under international law and the Geneva Conventions are war crimes. You cannot punish anyone for a crime they did not themselves commit. So if you're punishing a whole population by sanctioning them, disrupting their ability to conduct commercial transactions, limiting their food supply, for example, you're committing a war crime. So they claim Putin is committing a war crime when it's the United States and the West that is committing the war crimes. I don't doubt that there are some abuses that occur in war, and some are committed by the Russian side, but I'll tell you, these Ukrainians are the ones who are shelling the hospitals, the schools, and blaming it on Russia. It's a psyop, and it's very, very nasty, and the media just runs with it. I've been astonished. Even Fox News, which used to be reasonably responsible, has gone all in and demonizing Putin and, you know, ignoring the reasons he had for coming into Ukraine.
I would like to get onto something. I would like to say something about the Ukrainian thing. But I would also like to say I am no Barack Obama apologist, and anyone who knows me or who have heard my views on multiple shows know that I think he is one of the worst things to happen to Black America. I do believe that. But I would say that Barbara Bush looks more like a man than Michelle Obama. But I would say this. I want to go to something about Ukraine. Why do you think the media is covering up the situation at the Azov steel plant? Because some of my sources are telling me that there are high-value Western officials that are trapped in there with the Ukro-Nazis, and they have been the calls from the German chancellor, the calls from the French president and others to Moscow in recent days. They were trying to beg Moscow, in words, to allow these high-value targets to leave. And my sources also told me that in one of the downings of the helicopters in recent days, there were two to four French intelligence officers on there, and one of the other helicopters had high-value targets on it that was downed also. What say you about the situation?
Yeah, my impression is, I mean, this is extremely embarrassing for the West to have NATO officers or, you know, intelligence officers from the West who are trapped there. My understanding is they allowed them to get aboard the helicopters to leave and then shot them down. That was a very deft move. You know, from a military point of view, that's elegant. Let them take out their high-value targets when you can take them out, you know. I mean, the West has just lied, cheat, deceived, you know. Putin's had enough. He's not going to give us any more grace. He's not going to be tolerant anymore. They view what is going on now as an all-out assault to destroy Russia. So mark my words, there's going to be no more patience, no more tolerance and nonsense from the West. He's fed up. He's not going to deal with it anymore except in a direct, forceful fashion. And I admire him for that. That's what he should be doing. Well, he's doing it.
And I also want to follow that up, and then I'll let Rashid come in with a question. But I also want to follow it up with the situation that why do you think there's so much braggadociousness and pompous from the American side or from the Western side? Whenever they do something, they have to have all of the glitz and cameras thumping their chest saying, we demand this and we did this to them. But then as they stole the $300 billion from Russia, an inside person told me that with one swipe of the pen, Vladimir Putin, he returned that in this way. He had officials to do an estimate of Western investment inside the country of Russia, and they came out to be between $300 and $600 billion. And with that, he said that without presidential approval, that none of that money could be transferred out of Russia. So with the swipe of a pen, Russia didn't even say anything about them doing that, but every time America does something, she has to beat her chest in front of the camera. Why is that?
Because we're weak. Putin is strong. If you're strong, you don't have to exaggerate. You don't have to fake it. If you're weak, you want to blow your own horn and act as though you're strong. That's what's going on here. It's a fraud. It's a psyop. It's a mind trick. It's the West does this a lot, sad to say. So I think that's the explanation, Rashid.
Rashid, you can ask him question now.
I just got a update that Germany is going to buy gas in rubles, so they didn't capitulate to Putin.
See, when they tried to sanction, Putin is a very smart guy. See, he flipped it on him. And now he's not going to sell gas to countries unless they buy it in rubles. He's getting rid of the dollar. This is going to have devastating effects on America. You're absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, Rashid, because it wasn't 100. He hadn't. The chancellor hadn't resolved the issue, but that was the right thing to do.
What else could he do?
You know, let me interject 1 second.
He'd have to let his people freeze to death, which is not going to make him real popular.
You know, I had inside source telling me that leading up to this, when France and Germany and the EU made all this pompous talk about them not going to capitulate to Russia and they refused to do it, someone told me that they had already reached out to Vladimir Putin to ask him about the intricacies of this. And so they had already capitulated, but they did not want to seem as weak as they are. They didn't want to show their hand to their own public, and because the outrage would have been tremendous, because it was following America's policies which put them in this position.
Well, what is being reported here, and I'm overwhelmingly encouraged with this development, is a triumph of practicality over ideology. In other words, people have to live, they have to eat, they have to be able to heat their homes, they have to have gasoline for their cars. So this was a practical decision that benefits the people. The ideologues, who were really zealots, would have not wanted that to happen. In fact, this has really destroyed much of the rationale that has underlay what's going on. I mean, look, it's ridiculous to fault Putin for taking care of business when you have a major threat to Russia. Just consider, there's a wonderful cartoon I'm looking at. I strongly condemn Russia's attack on Ukraine, and in the background there's a sack full of skulls labeled Syria, Iraq, Libya, Somalia. The U.S. does this all the time, but we do it for bloodthirsty reasons. Russia's doing it in the name of its own national security. Our intrusions in Syria, Iraq, Libya, Somalia had nothing to do with the national security of the United States. These are remote nations. They're not anywhere near our borders. In fact, they're thousands of miles away. Ukraine is on the border of Russia. Russia could not allow Ukraine to become a NATO nation. And remember, that was essentially the final straw when they were talking about making Ukraine a NATO nation. Remember, way back when, the solemn promise was made not to encroach one inch to the east. James Baker, the Secretary of State at the time under Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev agreed there'd be no politicalization of these countries that would be newly sovereign nations and no attempt to militarize them or turn them into NATO nations. And we violated that again and again and again and again and again, taking NATO from 14 to 30 countries. Well, it's ridiculous. So what you're reporting here, Rashid, is extremely important to what's going on there in Europe. And I would even submit it's transformational. This is a big deal. I'm very glad you brought that news to the show.
And there's a lot of other things that are going on, but also Vladimir Putin, the Iranian government, the Chinese government, and a host of the Global South nations said that America is agreement incapable. That meaning that she's not incapable. It means that she's not capable of honoring her agreements or honoring anything that she signs. And
that's true.
So being that it's true, how do you think that this looks on the global scale? Seen amongst nations that used to fear America, and that nations that used to be allies with America, or nations that are leaning toward China and Russia and the Eastern Bloc. How do you think they will perceive America's lies and treachery against allies and enemies alike?
There's going to be a realignment of nations, I'll tell you right now. Russia and China are being closer, and Iran as well. You got the BRICS nation that have an independent economic system. And Europe is going to become more neutral because they need relations with Russia. They don't need relations with the United States. If Russia is not a threat, they don't need NATO. They don't need the U.S. military to be stationed in Europe. That's all going to come to pass. Our forces are going to be rejected from the European nations now. And the fact that the word of the United States means nothing is going to diminish our role in international affairs. That having Biden in office is the worst possible development. And, of course, it only happened by massive theft of the election of 2020. But Donald Trump, for all his faults, had made us economically vigorous. He clamped down on the border. The lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. He made us energy independent. He called out the fake news media. Those were all major developments benefiting the American people. Biden has reversed every single one, every single one. And it's pathetic to witness the destruction of the United States under this Democrat administration. Disgusting.
Now, I'm going to put this out before everyone, and then I'll let Rashid ask the other Rashid ask a question, because we're both Rashids. But
sure.
What do you think America, her standing will be as more nations challenge the dollar hegemony around the globe, especially now that Russia is demanding payments in rubles? And also, before they demanded payment in rubles, they sent their team to China to coordinate this, and they signed on the SPS system, which is similar to the SWIFT system, signed on with the SIPS or CHIP system of China, where the MIR cards that would be issued would be backed by China's global union pay system, which is a rival to SWIFT system. What since the U.S. dollar has allowed America to constantly run up debts and deficits constantly and export inflation around the world, now the world is seeing an alternative or another viable option. Where does this put America, especially with all of the debt that she continues to accumulate? And where does it put the dollar?
The free ride, the gravy train is over. The value of the dollar is going to collapse. We're going to see soaring inflation here in the U.S. We don't have any backing for our currency. It was Nixon who took us off the gold standard at the recommendation of Henry Kissinger, because since it was a reserve currency for international trade in oil, and oil is indispensable to every economy of every nation that functions using machinery of any kind, which requires gas and oil to operate, it's come to an end, Rashid. This is the end. This is the end for the American empire. It's all over. And Biden was instrumental in bringing it about. If you'd had someone competent in office, if Trump were still in office, none of this would be happening. He knew. He was betrayed by many of his advisors, but he knows better now. He would have been terrific in his second term, in my estimation, though he committed blunders in his first, the lockdown being the foremost, and endorsing the vax, which is killing Americans. Do you know Pfizer has 1,245 side effects that no one has known about until now? 1,245. It should never have been approved. The FDA, the CDC, even the NIH and the WHO were all bought and sold by the Rothschild banking empire. We have been betrayed. You have doctors now saying, you know, I'm never again going to trust the CDC or the FDA. And of course not. They're seeing their own patients suffer all these adverse effects. Many are dying. They're having neurological problems. They're having heart attacks. You got world-class soccer athletes that are dying on the field. I'm telling you, the ramifications are endless. They really have executed a plan of global genocide, and I'm worried that it's going to continue to have effects. That I'm predicting we're going to lose 1 to 2 billion citizens from Earth, where there are approximately 8 billion now, in relatively short order. And it's going to be catastrophic. We ain't seen nothing yet.
and on that note, don't forget that they found out that the so-called vaccines also alter your DNA and your RNA in your body. Rashid, before I say something else, before I play a clip, do you have a question to ask?
It seems that we have insane leadership here. It seems like when Biden said that Putin needs to go, he's trying to get rid of his own government. He's the one that's shooting himself in the foot.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We've never had a less competent president. We've never had a president who actually was deliberately destroying America. This is a disgrace. And the Democrats arranged it by stealing the election of 2020. They stole the election of 2020 in order to destroy America. I hate to say it, but that's what's happened here. It's a disgrace. And I got to tell you, most of my life I voted Democrat. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. When it came to Trump versus Hillary, however, she is a monster. She is among the most despicable humans ever to grace the face of Earth. And Trump was a breath of fresh air. That was a no-brainer for me. But I have a history of regarding myself as a JFK FDR Democrat. I'm liberal in the tradition of JFK and FDR. I believe in the social safety network, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. I believe in all of those. In fact, in my retirement, if it were not for Social Security, I would not be able to make ends meet as I sit here and speak with you today. I would not. Those are the programs that benefited the public. But all this other stuff they're doing, they're just channeling trillions of taxpayer dollars for fantasies. The Green New Deal is an absolute unscientific, counterproductive. It consumes more energy to make an electric car than you save by having an electric car. It's just god-awful. I'm doing a whole series, anti-global warming and all the nonsense we've been fed, with Joe Olson, who's a brilliant engineer. We have a series with 7 or 8 episodes you can find on my blog, BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer. Look at those A Real Deal specials on global warming with Joe Olson. You will be shocked.
I want to, before I play the clip, you said something about Social Security, and I want, since you served in the military and you are a recipient of Social Security, I wanted to ask you a question and get your take on this. Why is it that you can pay into the system your whole life, right? And they're supposed to be taking that money that you pay into the system for Social Security and investing it so that later on when you retire or whatever, you can get that. Why does the media and the government portray it as though that you're a leech off the system when it is your money that's supposed to be returned to you?
Well, the theory of Social Security is perfect, but you got a corrupt Congress that can't resist a huge pot of cash there, and they have delved into the Social Security Reserve and spent it on other projects. It's a disgrace. That should have been in the so-called lockbox, but it wasn't put in the lockbox. The Congress has been looting the American people. It's disgraceful. When they say there's enough evidence in the Hunter Biden laptop to implicate 2/3 of Congress, you can take that to the bank. Most of them are looters and thieves who just are silver-tongued devils. They sound good, but most are not worth a toot. In fact, we'd be better off without them.
Now I want to say this, and this will position us back to the clip I'm about to play of former Prime Minister and former President Dmitry Medvedev of Russia. I'm going to play that clip in a second, but I want to ask you about the situation concerning America's war spending. Why is it that she constantly says that she's decades ahead of everybody in this technology, she's decades ahead, she's the most powerful military, but yet every year it's the 500, the 600, the 700, the 800 billion is never enough. She always needs more and more money. If you're decades ahead, why do you have to constantly spend more than the next 10, 20 nations combined?
Because it's a myth. It's not true. And the American contractors, unlike the Russian, deliberately produce malfunctioning equipment that's defective, so they'll get maintenance contracts that double their profit. That's what they're doing. The Russians don't have that luxury. They don't have to put up with that profit margin. They make equipment that works. They have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. If we get into a war with Russia, we will not like the outcome.
And this goes to, I'm glad you said that. Hold on 1 second, Rashi. I want to get this out of my head real quick, and then you can come in right after that, and then I'll postpone playing the clip so that you can get your full question in. On this situation, I was hearing from people who are knowledgeable about the situation in Ukraine, and they said that America and the NATO forces have been watching how all of their training and all of their armament and weapons that they have provided, the so-called advanced weaponry to Ukraine, become useless, and how the Russian equipment is functioning well and doing and that is has prevented them actually from going into Ukraine openly. What do you say about that, Mr. Fetzer?
That sounds exactly right to me. Russia is a formidable military force. The United States is decimated. They use a vaccine on our military. There's a skyrocketing number of deaths. The military who know what's going on are getting out. They're turning it into a LBGT military, which can't fight its way, to the cafeteria. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And this guy Lloyd Austin, who's the Secretary of Defense, is in there to destroy the military. We've never had a Secretary of Defense who is a cultural Marxist and a traitor, but we do today.
Rashid?
I always say, as you, Mr. Fisher was saying, in Russia, they don't have no $500,000 lug nuts. No $5 million toilet seats and stuff.
That's right.
Russia and China, same thing.
That's right. Mm. And you can know that Putin discussed all this with Xi in China before he went into Ukraine. He knew the West would pull all this dirty stuff, including the economic. Putin foresaw it. And they agreed as to how they were going to handle it. They already knew what they were going to do when we started pulling all these stunts about the sanctions and all that. I remind you again, what the West is doing with these sanctions is a war crime. It's collective punishment of the Russian people under international law. No one can be punished for a crime they did not personally commit. This is the leadership of Russia that decided to go into Ukraine, not a totality of the Russian people. These are war crimes being committed by the West.
It seems to me, hold on a second, brother. It seems to me it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You start something, and then it get out of hand. What they're doing is really destroying their own economy.
Oh, yeah.
You get everybody around the world looking at you and stealing this person's gold, that person's gold, and stealing this, all of the world's gold, and then the rest of the people say, well, I don't want to put my money in your bank. And so what it's doing is...
A spokeswoman for the International Monetary Fund said sanctions against Russia threaten to weaken the dominance of the dollar. I'm telling you, it's too late. It's already done. The U.S. will never be the same again economically.
So
and you, Rashid, reported... What sealed the deal is Germany going ahead to buy the Russian gas. Believe it or not, that is a turning point right there.
What else were they going to do?
And it what
sit up there and get in the sit up there and freeze the debt. What they don't understand is BMW, Mercedes Benz, Volkswagen, Porsche. All of them are you use natural gas or electricity to power their plant. What are you telling them to shut down? It makes no sense unless, like you were saying, if you're out there to destroy your own currency.
Yeah,
I know.
And you know, on that note,
they're shooting themselves in both feet and the head. This is just stupid.
Yeah. You know, before Germany even did it, Hungary and some of the smaller nations had said that they could not go along with the European policy of trying not to buy Russian gas. That would be economic suicide for their economies, and that people would suffer on a massive scale. So I don't think that Biden, his administration, nor the deep state or whatever, the puppet masters, understood the depths of what they were doing when they were trying to project power to weaken Russia and China, because this was not just a ploy against Russia. This was a ploy to serve as a sign against Iran and China and any opposing power to American dominance. What say you?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, all the consequences now, it's going to be like dominoes. You had a whole series of dominoes. They're falling. And the consequences are going to be devastating for the West, but especially for the United States. The United States is going to take the most powerful hit in its history economically because of all this nonsense and having such a completely inept administration. I mean, it's just really stunning. The American people are going to only gradually awaken to the damage that's been done by having the Democrats steal the election. Just god awful.
And you know, as we go into this bill, Rashid, and you were saying some very tangible and thought provoking things. And I was just thinking about how before Russia went into Ukraine, they sent their team to Beijing. They also, and it, on the sidelines, the Iranian team just so happened to be in Russia. And now I look at the situation and I say that Russia, as I said before, connected its monetary system with the Chinese union pay and chip systems. And that, and it was announced a few days ago or a week ago that Iran would now connect their system that they were using to beat sanctions to both systems. And Pakistan saying that they're going to do it. And you have the Asian bloc, the ASEAN organization, which uses a lot of Chinese renminbi or yuan. They're saying that they may even up their usage of the yuan because China is their largest trading partner. And that is the largest trading bloc in the world. And the African Union has the second largest trading bloc in the world, and they're saying that they may start using more renminbi. So this is a domino effect that is going to wreak havoc on the American economy, the U.S. dollar, and the military, because the military needs the dollar to continue to fund itself. Now, before anybody... Go ahead, if you have something to say.
No, I'm agreeing with you completely, Rashida, completely. I think we got it. I think we're there.
Now I'm going to play this clip, if they allow us now, because every time I click on it, you know, StreamYard and YouTube is blocking it. So I'm going to try it again. So here we go.
The U.S. has taken similar actions on multiple occasions in the past and in regions that are in no way part of their immediate interests. These countries are not their neighbors or a threat to the U.S., take Yugoslavia, Iraq, Afghanistan, but the U.S.'s military actions have never resulted in such a massive and consolidated response from the West. No one responded to a wedding party bombed in Afghanistan by shutting down European clothes shops in the U.S. There were no other repercussions either. Why? Why are we witnessing such a powerful response to Russia's moves that you say are fully justified in terms of our security?
This is what we're going to do. You see how they're blocking the video clips, and they're also messing with the stream so that the people can see it for themselves every time we try to hit a point. But Rashid, I know you have something to say. Go ahead.
No, I that's what I was just saying with you. I couldn't hear anything or see anything.
So they're messing with it that bad. I mean, it's just amazing. And as Jim said, that every time he's on the show, they bother the show. And every time he's on other shows, they're bothering the show. Do you believe that the censorship is just going out of control? Because I know YouTube had taken my channel down and erased it. And then we peeled it a few times. They let it come back. And as my channel grew, We estimated between 1,000 and 3,000 subs were just taken away from me. And a host of my videos were removed. And now I heard that they just did that to the guy that hosted On Contact on RT, Chris Hedges. Do you think that the system is imploding upon itself and is scared for the news to get out and they're just grasping for straws to try to maintain a narrative and maintain control?
Absolutely. No question about it. It's as plain as the nose on your face. 100% correct, Rashid. You that's what's going on. And it can't stop because they got too much to hide. They have nothing to offer. They're bankrupt intellectually, politically. They see the writing on the wall. They can only cheat and lie and steal and suppress alternatives because anything is better than what they have to offer, which is frankly nothing good at all, only more misery, pain, and suffering for the American people.
I say that they don't need any outside enemy. They got themselves.
Yeah. I've sometimes said that the Democrat Party is self-immolating like a Buddhist monk protesting the Vietnam War.
Well, what do you think this thing is?
They're just destroying. The party's destroyed completely.
Well, with this, now we've discussed all of these things, even amidst all of this streaming problems and the video problems and the technical difficulties that we're facing during the show. what do you think the outlook of America is by 2025? Now, take that to mind and take this to heart that they're saying that 2022 is going to get bad, but 2023 will be horrendous and catastrophic when concerning the dollar and when concerning the debt burden and when concerning the American economy and jobs. What do you think is coming to America in the next 3 years upwards towards 2025, and how do you see the situation?
Disaster, unmitigated disaster. We're falling apart. George Soros bought all these woke DAs. They're not enforcing crime. The Democrats are defunding the police. What did they think was going to happen? You got surging crime. There's no law enforcement. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's almost impossible to restore. So we're going to have food shortages. There's going to be massive starvation. People are going to be unemployed. They're not going to be able to buy food. There won't be any food on the shelves. We're heading into a calamity unlike anything the United States has ever experienced. And frankly, the public is not prepared for this. They don't even see it coming.
Well, what do you think about when the dollar collapsed, right? And it's in the process right now. But what do you think about when the American military has to come back within her own borders, and now you're dealing with people who are trained to fight and trained to do this, and they have no way to provide for their families? How do you see this?
There's no American military. It's been destroyed utterly by Lloyd Austin. That was his role, to destroy the American military. If you're not armed, you're helpless. You're going to be a victim. They're going to steal your food. They're going to steal your possessions. They're going to kill you. So, you know, the preppers were right. You got to prepare for the worst, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, because, mark my words, the worst is coming.
Rashid?
Both of you said it. The worst is coming. And like I said before, you don't need an enemy to kill you if you're going to kill yourself.
Gangs are going to control the cities. Rural populations are going to be better off until those who are fleeing from the cities seek to exploit what limited resources the rural population has. You're going to have firefights. You're going to have people being killed on the right and left. When people are starving, they'll do anything to get food. It's going to happen. We're going to see a melee across America unlike anything we could, in our worst nightmare, have imagined. It's going to be catastrophic.
Are you describing it?
Lots of our friends and our family are going to die. They're going to be killed. They're going to starve. It's just god-awful. I can't sit here and give you a rosy picture, because there's nothing good in the future. Nothing good coming at all. Nothing.
So do you see this like a Mad Max type situation?
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Rashid?
Hunger Games.
Yeah, I agree.
Hunger Games. That's the society of the future.
Mm-hmm.
When you got somebody out there that's totally hell-bent on destroying themselves, that's what you got.
But isn't that chickens coming home to roost also? Because America has gone around the world bombing and destroying countries and sucking off their resources and causing color revolutions and the overthrow of government. Isn't that as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee?
Oh, yes. Look, the nation, because of its leadership, deserve it. Unfortunately, the people don't. It's like the sanctions on Russia. It's collective punishment for the sins of our leaders. We don't deserve it. It's a war crime under international law, but it's happening to Russia. It's going to happen to the United States. I don't see any way to stop it.
Will it be worse than the collapse of the Soviet Union?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it will be. Yeah, I think, let's see, we have 330 million. You know, they were already projecting that they're going to wipe out 265 million just by the vax and the masks and the lockdowns. But, you know, everything I foresee for the United States is nasty, brutish, and short. It's going to be a war of all against all. And if you're not equipped, if you're not armed, if you can't defend yourself, I'm sorry, you can bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
Hey, so think about this. When a nation has been the pride of the world, right, and the nation has dominated and lived so luxuriously off the backs of robbing or occupying other nations, and the anger starts rising up in the midst. And won't you see different factions break away from the whole of America trying to get a government or territory patterned after their own way of thinking, cause revolution in the midst?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all bad. It's all bad. What's coming is all bad.
And what do you believe that she will have to abandon, especially after debt burden comes home? Do you believe that she will have to abandon all of her outposts around the globe? Because some people are saying that America has upwards of 800 to 1,000 military bases. But I remember, and I have it somewhere, I took dictation a few years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, during a congressional report, they listed all of the facilities that America had outside of the country. And they were talking about training posts. They put them in little fancy names or whatever. And they said America had upwards of 5,000. And I'm like, 5,000? Oh, do you think she's going to be forced to abandon all those positions and all of those little fiefdoms that she has around the globe?
Yes.
And her retreat back home, will it be a disgrace?
This is the collapse of the American empire. It has begun. What Rashi reported, Germany buying Russian gas in rubles, at the end of the American empire. That's the beginning of the end right there. I have no doubt about it. We've been heading this way. That lit the fuse. Believe me, it's all over. It's all over. It's all over. It's fascinating. At a certain level, there's justice about it. The unfortunate part is a lot of innocent people like you, me, our family, our friends are going to suffer serious adverse effects because of the failure of our leadership. But the corruption at Congress made all of this inevitable. It was just a matter of time.
What did Pepe Escobar call it? The ruble gas or something like that?
It says the petrodollar.
Ruble gas.
Oh, and while we're talking about
the future, the future belongs to Russia and China. Have no doubt about it. The future belongs to Russia and China. So I just hope they can make a better, more humane society than we have failed to do.
Oh, Rashid and Jim, I wanted to also say this. It just came to my mind a second ago. As China and was positioning herself, and as Russia was demanding rubles and gave a deadline for that, right? One of the pipelines to Europe was completely shut down. And then Russia started, right after that, on the day of the deadline, started pumping more gas towards China and Asia. Do you think that was posturing, and that's what made Germany and those other nations really realize the seriousness of following Americans' dictates, and they had to reevaluate their arrogance?
They already knew. Once Putin set the deadline of the 31st of March, they had to decide. And they have so much gas in Russia. They can pump it to China. They can pump it to Iran. They can pump it to Europe. They're not going to run out. What's going to happen is the countries that fail to take advantage of the opportunity thereby provided are going to suffer mightily. And the Germans made the decision not to sacrifice themselves for some Western ideology that was corrupt from the beginning and hasn't benefited the world in the least.
Like one of the Russian finance ministers
said. The domino effect,
said,
I'm going to let Rashid add.
Like one of Russia's finance ministers said, if you don't want to buy our gas, we know where to direct it. So like what you said, if you don't want to buy it, okay, China will buy it. How in the world can that hurt Russia? We ain't going to buy your gas. Well, okay, you don't buy it, somebody else will buy it. It's insane leadership.
It is. That's what we've got. The lunatics are running the asylum.
Yep.
It just happens to have 330 million inmates. Us, the American people, we're being run by monsters and nitwits. I've never seen such a batch of morons in high office in my lifetime. These people are stupid, and they're venal, and they're being manipulated to benefit the Rothschild banking empire, and where they're going to leave behind the greatest mess the world has ever seen. America is on the verge of collapse, and I think there's no way you can stop it. It's inevitable.
And also, as we look at that situation, I was just thinking about how the dominoes have set in place with American arrogance and how she tried to corner Russia and how she tried to come in between Russia and China and Iran and the global South. And now all of these nations, especially Iran, China, Russia, they bring something to the table, whether it's economic growth or manufacturing or technology or natural resources. And all of them are kind of naturally moving towards the East. The gold has been shipped to the East. And now Russia is saying that she is getting ready to price all wheat, all fertilizer, all metals, everything into rubles and yuan. And that goes to say that 10 years ago or 12 years ago, when China set up the Shanghai Gold Exchange and Iran set up the oil bourse of one of their islands, and Russia opened up an oil and gold bourse, which is independent of New York and London, that this was underway well before this situation spun out of hand with Ukraine. What say you two?
You got it. You're right. Absolutely. I got to say, I really like your show, Rashid, and I've really enjoyed being here. This is wonderful. And I would just mention in passing, I have an online course I'm introducing beginning next Wednesday on critical thinking and conspiracy theories. I'm going to explain how you can figure out what's happening and how you would know whether Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing or Orlando, Dallas or Charlottesville were real or fake. I'm going to instruct the principles. I've done a huge amount of research. I bring together teams of experts, but I'm going to have a class to explain how it's done, how human thought takes place, the nature of language, the role of arguments, the kinds of arguments, and the principles involved here. So if anyone has the least interest, they can go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and check out Conspiracy 101, because it might be something you want to consider. It will broaden your mind. And remember, it's only 1 hour a week for 15 weeks, and there are no exams.
Well, I want to have you back on the show, on the pre-recorded show, so that we won't have this mess that just happened to us with the streaming problems and everything like that this week.
Yeah, look at how much we covered in spite of it, Rashid. This was really a wonderful, wonderful discussion between the three of us. So, you know, I think this was a great success, regardless of the technical problems. And I appreciate both of you. I think you both made excellent points. And Rashid brought the news that is really historic, that Germany is going to buy gas in rubles. Yeah, I'm telling you, the consequences are going to be felt forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in closing, we thank you for joining us. As I said, I'll contact you later. But do you have anything to say to anyone, Rashid or Mr. Pepper?
I just think you're doing a great job, and you're talking about the issues that are the most important and consequential, and I enjoy being here with you.
Thank you so much. World-changing events are getting ready to take place,
and it's
going to shock the world.
It is.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, and we are not going to like it.
Yeah. So in closing, we'll have multiple guests on this month. We're going to try to bring Professor Fetzer back Jim Fessler back this week or next week or something like that, so that he can go into more of his theories and also so that we can address more of the happenings, because you know by the time Friday approaches, there's going to be a lot of new breaking news globally, and especially when it comes to the American empire and her situation. I want to thank my co-host, Rashid, and I want to thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. And for all of you who are listening, you better prepare. It's better to be prepared and not need it than to need it and not be prepared. And on that note, brother, we close out. I love you, Mama.